Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, all, and welcome. This week, I welcome Nancy Ferrari to your Partner in Success Radio. Nancy is a health and wellness expert and celebrates that her college major in communications and journalism has come full circle as she is now a contributing author and speaker and proudly hosts her blog talk radio show like I do. Her show is called Feel Free in the OC, Orange County, for those of you who don't know what OC is. So the show is called Feel Free in the OC with Nancy T. She's also syndicated with Boomer Authority Radio Network, and she shares guests there who exude their spirit of positivity, energy, and healthy lifestyles. God knows we all need that. So Nancy has been a featured guest on various internet radio shows, and most recently is a guest speaker at the 2010 AARP convention, sharing her knowledge of life energy, and is currently a contributing author for a book that is going to be released this spring. And she's also in the process of writing her new book. So Nancy is the founder of a brand new company, maybe not brand new, but, you know, the wrapping paper's been taken off of it, the Ferrari Energy Network, and has a deep, deep desire to help others attain their health and wellness goals, inspire others to find their authentic self, and to live their most abundant life. She shares her voice freely with enthusiasm, clarity, and honesty, and encourages others to do the same. I invite you to join us in the chat room or on the phone during the interview if you have questions of either Nancy or myself. So good morning, Nancy, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio.
Well, good morning, and what a beautiful introduction you just gave me. I found myself sort of mesmerized, and I said, wow, you summed it up so well, and I appreciate that very much. It's a pleasure to be
I
on.
I did my research.
So. It's a good thing to do as a radio host, isn't it?
Well, I visited your website, and of course, we were introduced, you know, through a mutual friend, and, you know, that always, you know, makes me go, what's going on here? So, yeah, you know, I poked around a good bit, and it was pretty exciting. So I'm happy to have you here. And I would love for you to tell people a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you came from, and what you're doing now before I begin. Really, if you've ever listened to my show, you know that I'm going to pepper you with questions.
Oh,
so talk about yourself first before I start going, hey.
That's what we do as women anyway. We go to different tangents. And first, I do really want to say that I love your title, Your Partner in Success. Because I was thinking about it, I was looking at the words, and said, you know what, I am my partner in my success. And as I'm reading this current book, The Power of Who, it's an excellent book, and it wasn't written by me, but it really opens your eyes as to your who. And I do encourage all of you to read that, and that is part of what I aspire to do, to help others, you know, achieve that clarity. But we'll get more to that. And as far as my background, it's kind of interesting because I was born in Canada, and I live in Orange County, California now. But my parents were born in Finland.
That's called shock.
Oh, yeah. When I see those pictures of New York and the snowbanks are as tall as skyscrapers, and when you're I was 8 years old when we moved, you know, it just was overwhelming, and winters were long. And but with that said, and we didn't have, you know, all that the children have now, technology, we used our imagination and our creativity to spend those long hours playing in the basement, and when we couldn't go out to play because it was just, you know, 15 below or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have to say that I enjoyed a happy childhood, and I felt such a sense of freedom. But the interesting thing about that, and as we're going to talk about full circle, is that my parents were born in Finland, and they emigrated to Canada and actually met there, got married. I'm the firstborn, and I have a brother. And as much as they tried to come up to speed with the English language, as I mastered the English language, because Finnish was my first, it was pretty much up to me to go and ask for directions, or go and ask, you know, why we need to fill out this form or whatever. So it took mm-hmm. the fear out of me asking at an early age, and that's really important.
Conduit between, when you become the conduit between them and a brave new world, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
Aldous Huxley, you develop a different kind of a mind map.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah,
and when you're a child, you don't know that feeling of fear, you know, and
right.
There are unfortunate experiences with others that they do because of their family dynamics, but I felt a great sense of freedom, and I draw on my childhood, and that's something we're going to talk about when we're working on what's going on in our adulthood, because that is the foundation of who we are, and
mm-hmm.
that comes naturally. I now have a 17-month-old granddaughter, and unfortunately I don't get to see her often. She lives in Atlanta, and but we were just there last weekend, and I'm always in awe, especially now as, you know, I'm not her mother. I can sit back and observe her and how simple life can be, and blissful and joyful, and those are the characteristics I draw upon. But as far as my involvement when we moved to California, once again, I've always been a person of high energy. I was told, will you ever sit down? Why are you always in movement? It's just me. That's how I'm hardwired. I talk of endless energy. Had a great high school life. I had a few wonderful experiences within that high school time. I got to pitch the first ball at a Dodger game, which I'll never forget. That was just inspiring and memorable, but the key here is that when I went to college, I majored in communications and journalism, and I thought linguistics was going to be my major because I was so good with the foreign languages, but that was a calling for me, and little did I know, I don't know why I picked it, but it just was. However, you know, back in the day, even though I was confident, I remember professors saying, this is a really cutthroat business. If you think you're going to make it in journalism or broadcasting, and that's when women weren't widely accepted. It was still quite the man's world. We want to thank Barbara Walters for breaking ground back then, and others to follow. But I kind of backed off from that, and then I entered working in the legal industry, which I did for 20 years, married, had raised three children, and it was, you know, a wonderful experience and all that. But then as we talk about transitions, when the kids went off to college, then you start assessing, you know, is this really what I want to do? You know, I'm blessed to have said that, a very, you know, grounded marriage. My husband's always been supportive of me, but when I made that decision that this isn't for me anymore, I've learned a lot. I could sit here and be comfortable, but that's what I'm doing, is sitting and being comfortable. I'm not getting out of my comfort zone, and I knew there was something more waiting for me out there. So there starts the process of the Ferrari Energy Network, and it was a process.
And my experience of life has been that if you are in a comfort zone, that's fine and dandy. It's perfect for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have the entrepreneurial mindset you have to stretch yourself. And by that, you have to find a task or a question in your mind or something that makes you stretch just enough to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And you have that uncomfortableness makes you go, what can I learn here? And where can I go to learn it?
Yes.
So, you know, there's nothing wrong with being comfortable. It's not for me. And clearly it's not for you anymore. But
no.
For a lot of people, it's perfectly fine. I'm not, and those of you who are listening, we're not denigrating that at all.
No.
But
no.
You need to, if you want to just take your whole life and your business that step further, you have to stretch every day. You have to stretch those mental muscles and your physical muscles. You have to stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I'm hearing from
you? Very
me?
Good point. Is stretching yourself, but also with you know that stretching of yourself, you start to uncover parts about you that you know. And I'm sure we've all gone through that. You start to question, you know, where is my true calling? What is it what's happened that maybe is holding me back? I'm trying really hard. It's not working. As we had mentioned earlier, that due to my own personal health issues, which was being in a state of severe acid reflux when I turned 40, it came out of nowhere and unfortunately came in an airplane flying to Chicago with an hour or more until we landed, and it was awful. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't swallow. I thought, oh, what in the heck is going to happen here? And I remember the flight attendant saying, just will yourself out of it. And now I can kind of understand what she's saying, but I didn't have the skills to know what she was talking about. Well, long story short, 12 long years of seeing a gastroenterologist and endoscopes and being on, you know, Prilosec, I knew this was not healthy for me either. And a friend of mine gave me a 5-gallon jug of alkaline water. She knew, she was my esthetician. She knew that I was dealing with inflammation within, and I still didn't understand it, but I trusted. And I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. And within a month, I was completely off the meds. And I didn't have any of the acid reflux distress. And I said, I have to have this water. And at the time, you know, I just kept, you know, getting it from her until I could afford the home unit that I have now. And I've never had an issue since. So therein started the process. And when you mentioned, you know, health and wellness expert, I do consider myself an expert in what I know. I know what I know and I know what I don't know. But as you turn the page of learning more, there's so much information out there. God bless, you know, Google, that we can go in there and learn even more. But it's been quite an eye-opening experience to learn what is in our water and why we are in a state of chronic illness in this country. And so I'm all about getting ourselves into chronic wellness instead of chronic illness, because I am my own testimony, and I know so many people that others. And it's not just about the water, and there are a lot of choices to meet everyone's budget, but start analyzing the food that you're putting in your mouth. When you're on a scale, our body pH is at about a 7. You don't want to get down to a 3, because that's when the colors are orange. You want to be purple. Purple is a power color anyway, but that's when you're optimally hydrated, and diseases do not thrive in an alkaline environment. They all love to be. Once you let your body get that far down, we all have the capacity to manifest some form of disease and or cancer, and that's when they spark up. And you know, I'm just blessed that I was able to get my body up to a higher pH, and I do have that tested twice a year to make sure that I am. So there's just an an abundance of information to support what I am talking about when I introduce it to others. I start off simple because I can't be talking about all the facets of alkalinity and the water that I drink, the water molecule is smaller, so it absorbs into my body faster. Thereby, I'm cellularly hydrated, and you just start operating at a higher frequency energy level, and that's why my title of my company is Ferrari Energy Network. Everything that I do is energy driven. And whether it's mind, body, and spirit. So this is just one part of the equation that I want to educate and inform with others in a way that it makes sense.
Well, Nancy, what do you mean when you say that your life has come full circle? Are you talking about your health issues and just basically the fact that you lived one part of your life and then you moved into another and you'll always be fully evolving? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, well, there again, once I got my health issues in order and I took the risk of leaving a job that I knew very, very well because, like I said, I knew there was a calling to do something else. And what transpired was through my usage of social media sites such as Facebook and Twitter and all, I kept posting about the importance of drinking water. And I was asked to be a guest on Blog Talk Radio last April, very end of April, to talk about the alkaline Kangen water. The host knew a bit about it. She lived here in Laguna Beach, and it's pretty popular down in South County, as we call it. They're very health conscious there as well. But so I started talking to her about that, and then I started thinking about it. I go, you know what? I can do this. I can be a host. And just that quick, I made that decision. And I truly found my comfort zone and that this was something I had intended to do with that communications and journalism major. You know, writing out my scripts, also drawing upon the fact that it isn't difficult for me to approach strangers and ask them to be on my show and have that comfortableness about myself. And I always tell people, revisit something in the past, and I had actually forgot about it. And being in a communications major, we practice standing up in front of a group and public speaking. All of that came into play. And so when I started doing my show, there were quite a few hiccups here and there. We've got to learn the technical side of it all. But I have to say that I have come full circle with my professional life in that this is what I was intended to do. And I'm even looking further and beyond. There's so many opportunities in multimedia and with speaking engagements and possibly working on camera. I do like the face-to-face connection. As you know, with radio, sometimes it's a little hard to gauge someone's voice and their inflection and when to step in, whereas being on camera or being just even talking in person, you're seeing the body language and the eye movement, and it creates a even better flow. But I am very, very happy with where I am today, and those are messages I want to share with others. It's just to look inward, find who you really are. It's easier said than done, but I can provide the hows and maybe get to the root cause of why you aren't living your full potential.
Well, one thing that you're saying that I really am fascinated with is that anybody with any passion, it doesn't, look, I'm a web developer, I'm a virtual assistant, Mm-hmm. I work around the clock, and I'm highly, highly technically savvy. I'm a nerd. I admit it. I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. Call me whatever you want. I even wear glasses every now and then. But here's the thing. Anybody, whether it's you're getting yourself healthy, whether you're helping other people get healthy, whether you're a techno geek like I am, you know, whether you're a quilting phenom, it doesn't matter who or what you are. There is a venue for you out there. And entrepreneurism, in the United States, I believe, given everything that is going on in the United States right now, I think we're coming back. I think more and more people want to you know, make themselves heard and share what they know, share their wisdom, share their thoughts, you know, share their knowledge and their experiences. And what I'm hearing from you is that you have done exactly that. So while not everybody knows anything about water or, you know, the processes that you have gone through, you can certainly share that with them. And Blog Talk Radio is one venue. Blogging is a venue. Facebook, Twitter. Anybody who has something to share can do it these days. And it's an amazing, amazing thing that we can do this, and virtually for free.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you can make your voice heard. It doesn't cost a whole lot. So if you are a budding entrepreneur and you're listening to us, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what
we're both
saying.
Go
for it. Taglines when I start my speaking circuit and maybe pull together a telesummit or an event is let your voice be heard. That is what I have found holds back so many people, and I don't want to be exclusive to women. I find myself, I mention it often because I am a woman, but and men too, for whatever reason, we've been, you know, whoever made up that quote, children should be seen and not heard, I'd love to know who he or she was and why.
Yeah, because I grew up under that rule. I did.
Yes, and same with me. And and to be quiet. And yes, there's times, of course, to be quiet and be respectful, and we have our boundaries. But especially in this place in our lives where we may be going through transitions, it may be difficult for someone to feel that what they have to say is important. And my message to them is that you are special, you are unique, and you have something to offer. We all learn from one another, and that's why my network is not just about me. There were people that came into my life to provide support, encouragement, just even little triggers. Someone I was listening to said, if you remember that movie Pollyanna, which I used to love that movie as a child, and she plays the glad game, and she's looking at those beautiful crystals on a chandelier and finds something to be glad about. What a concept. And here they're talking about now, remember your gratitudes, set your intentions. All of that is good, but that was a message that was instilled into our minds at a very young age. Find something to be glad about and draw upon that positivity. Don't look, if you want to look at the negative side of the world and stay in that distress cycle, that's where you're going to stay.
Well, you know, and it also takes just as much energy to stay angry or irritable as it does to stay happy. Why would you choose angry or irritable? It's destroying you. Mm-hmm. I don't get that.
It's also aging,
look,
and it brings your body down.
Yeah, it does, and it changes your body chemistry. It does a lot of different things. Look, I have been known to understand that I'm having a little mini fit. You know, I'm just in a cranky mood, and I will just have a little mini fit. I will go outside and I'll stomp around in the yard, and then after a while, it's almost like I'm watching myself, you know, as a third person, and I start laughing at myself because I'm so ridiculous.
But you know what? That's the best thing you can do for yourself. It's very therapeutic. Someone said, because I just said, you know what, I'm just not feeling very good about anything about what's going on right now. And
you've given yourself permission to feel that way too.
Right. And this friend of mine said, you know what, acknowledge those feelings. Mm-hmm. Feel how that feels. Process it and then blow it out. And there's a great line that came my way, and I use it quite often, because as you know, and especially being in business as we are, there's going to be that, whatever you call it, an energy vampire. I call it a meteor. Mm-hmm. If a meteor that's fiery hot is coming your way, are you going to stand there? No, you're going to step aside and let it blow by. And that's how
that's
I manage to keep those forces away from me, because it detracts from the work that I'm doing. And
that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you have the attitude that these things are just not going to be allowed in your world, they
mm-hmm.
but just give you an odd example. My husband is, bless his heart, I love him to death, but he's an angry, irritable driver. He is. I frankly don't get in a car with him anymore. And, you know, that's just because I don't want to be angry and irritable. But he just assumes that when he drives out every day that somebody is going to do what he considers something stupid, and it happens every day.
Mm-hmm.
I, on the other hand, get in my car, and I assume that I'm going to have a nice trip. I'm going to be listening to the radio. I might be singing. I might be doing facial exercises. I may be doing anything that I darn well want to do in my car. Nobody is going to bother me. Nobody is going to tailgate me. Nobody is going to ram their car into the side of my vehicle. I assume every single time, and this is just habit, it just doesn't occur to me to be anything different, that when I get in my car and I go somewhere, I'm going to get where I'm going. I'm going to, you know, everything is going to be done in order. The store or wherever it is I'm going is going to have exactly what I need. I'm going to get it, get out. I'm not going to stand in line. I'm not going to have to wait for somebody to pay attention to me. It's always a good experience because
mm-hmm.
I expect it to be.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I hate shopping.
It.
All that being said, I hate shopping. So I always set forth intention. I hate it, hate it, hate it. That if I have to go into a store, I go in with a list, I get what I need. Somebody is available to help me, and I'm out the door in short order.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know anything about Lowe's, they're the worst in the country for customer service. I never have any trouble there. I get in.
Yeah, because
you don't need their
help. In fact,
no,
I'm absolutely
not going to let them mess with me.
Exactly. And in fact, I read an article somewhere that when they go shopping, they definitely know who has to operate on a quota or a commission, because they're
mm-hmm.
right on you. And I will avoid a
yeah.
store when I see them waiting to pounce on me. I'm like you. I know people who love to go and look at everything and window shop. I haven't got the time for that.
Hate it.
I know what I want when
online.
I get it.
My,
online
my
shopping
comes
is
to my door. But
exactly.
You know, it's just that understanding that you are in charge of your life,
mm-hmm.
and you are in charge of how you view life. And honestly, if you're going through life thinking, you know, this is good, I'm happy, the people around me are going to be happy, and if they're not, they need to stay away from me, and they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you just, it's almost like you put up this invisible barrier around you. So everything's
right.
fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how my life is operated. And it's an odd, I know it may be odd to some people who go, what the heck? But it does work. I just assume mm-hmm. that everything is going to go my way. And most days it does. And when it does, I have a little mini fit. I kick a tree and then I go back to work.
And hurt your toe and then go, why did I do that?
Hurt my toe, start laughing.
But
get up and go back to work.
What you're telling me, though, it was beautiful about, is that you are truly in a place of knowing. You know yourself.
Yeah.
You know your boundaries. And I was told when I was having to develop stronger boundaries that they're going to stay the way that they are. But they're not going to be, they're going to be very confused with how you have really become the person you were intended to, rather than
right.
being the person of making everyone else happy but yourself. And practice
self-care. This is why people come and go in our lives. This is why rarely any single person is a constant in your life. Your mother, perhaps, your husband, maybe. But this is why people come and go, and they all have a lesson for us.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we have a lesson for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say there's people come into your life for a reason, a season,
that's
or
right.
a lifetime. And sometimes it's kind of sad because that person who came in for a reason, you're really so grateful to them, but it is through them and what they've done for me that I acknowledge them, and if there's a way that I can incorporate them into my business so that they too can, you know, share their knowledge. It's all such a lovely continuum, but it is a mindset and of opening up the universe is really how I look at it. I always think of the huge football stadium in Dallas and how they have that opening, and sometimes it's closed because of weather, but mine is fully open, and it's just wonderful. And I, you know, kind of put it out there on the table and discern what resonates well with me and make my choices and learn to trust your intuition, especially in business. Right. I know you know that. If it doesn't feel good, there's a reason for that.
That's right. And don't take every client just because they asked you to take them as a client. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can be hungry enough that you'll take them, but you will be sorry.
I hear that more often.
I call it my spidey sense. If my spidey sense is saying, you know, we're not a good fit, we're not a good fit. I don't even bother anymore to try to see if we're a good fit. It's you know, I will help you find somebody else that you can work with, but I can't take you as a client.
Mm-hmm.
I depend heavily on my spidey sense.
Yeah. Well, that's a great analogy. And you know what? For that person that doesn't work, that you know that it's not a good fit, they'll find someone else, and it may be draining.
Yeah.
You know, we have that right to choose, and rather than we have to do that. And so it's just changing a lot of words that we heard when we were young, and having those. I love the book, The Four Agreements. It was my very first book that just sort of like had this bright light shining around it when I came out of we were on vacation, so I had a massage and I was looking through their things. I went, wow, I didn't even know about the author and all, but so true to how life is. And, you know, we come into this world, we haven't even picked our name. That name was given to us, and of course we can't. I mean, it's possible. We can change it, but still, you know, how we were dictated by our parents, the rules, the regulations, and in schooling and church, and so we do have all of that. But then to be able to still, you know, in society, we do have to stay within those boundaries, so to speak.
Yeah,
but
reasonable constructs. Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
But I remember when I was young, and this I solved on my own, and it's quite interesting because it explains a lot about me, is that I loved show and tell. When you got to go in front of the class and talk, and so I'm thinking, okay, I'm a now when I think back, I go, wow, I was a natural born speaker. Yeah, I couldn't wait to do it. But back then, maybe it's the Canadian school system, which is, they're very, very tough, very strict. I was reprimanded for being creative because I kind of carried on the story a little bit. And they said, you know, and she actually challenged me because I truly felt that this rock my mother brought me from Arizona was gold. And and she's arguing with me, you know.
Well,
now
in your mind, it was.
Yeah, and I would have thought, let her think it's gold. It's fine, you know. There's no harm done
How
here.
How old were you?
I was seven. I remember
picture
vividly, and I was daydreaming because I was bored with what she was saying. Up back to the principal's office. You know?
Oh my
God. So, me and the principal knew each other very well. But for not being a bad girl, just being who I was, expressive, creative.
Right. Independent, right.
Yeah. So it is funny
to
look
principal,
back.
The vice principal, we didn't have redial back then, but my mother's phone number would have been on his phone. I mean, I was constantly hauled in the vice principal's office. And mostly it was because I would challenge the teachers.
Mm.
I remember one year, my social studies, we had social studies, Dan, and he set a task. And I was so far beyond that. So I was largely self-taught. I was a voracious reader. And I was so profoundly bored that I set him a challenge. I said, look, if I can ask you a question that you cannot answer, will you just pass me and leave me alone? And I know, and I was very young.
Well,
I think it was seventh grade. Just leave me be. And
it was your response.
Yeah, he took up the challenge, and you know what? He failed it, and he had to leave me alone.
Mm.
He had to pass me, and I was already so far ahead of the class and him that he had to acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it taught him a lesson. I don't know.
Well,
and I still remember the question I asked him.
When you're up there as a teacher, though, you have to know, and maybe with elementary school children, I'm not sure what age you said you were. You know, they're quite
grade, whatever age that is.
Well, that's a time of expression too, and you know, they have that power. What they say
mm-hmm.
is how it is, and like you said, like we were talking about, creativity or a different viewpoint wasn't accepted. But the
mm-hmm.
teachers that I do remember who made a distinct difference in my life were the ones that allowed us to share. And my sixth grade teacher was marvelous for me because I was always told that I was stupid in math. And he actually put me in charge of running our classroom stock market. And I would have to go every morning in the paper, you know, see the, you know, how the stocks go up and down. And just by doing that, my math skills improved tremendously. So it's so, you know, bless those teachers that allow for you know, creativity or teaching a little bit out of the norm, because that is excitement when you're in a class and doing
right.
that.
And that leads me to my next observation, which is that so many of us who are going online now, because these days there are pretty much two ways of doing business. You can have a brick-and-mortar business, or you can have an online business, or you can have both.
Mm-hmm.
The online community just offers you just huge, huge resources.
Mm-hmm.
But I think so many people who would like to be an entrepreneur who think, oh, you know, I can do what they're doing. I can be a virtual assistant. I can be an author. I can be a speaker. I can do this. I can do that. I think what every one of us might be missing in the very early days is that we're all teachers and that we don't understand that we don't have to have a teaching credential. We don't have to have taught sixth and seventh graders. We don't have to belong to a union. We are all teachers.
Exactly.
And once you get past that mindset, well, yeah, I can teach you. I taught my children how to do this. I taught my husband how to do that. I taught myself how to do this. Of course I'm a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get past that, you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And
we don't have to be educators. We're teachers. We share.
Yes. And we tend to do that more naturally as women.
Exactly.
Because we're nurturing, we're caring, we can step out of the box, and I don't want to offend any man who may be listening because there are the exceptions, but my observation is there, especially of the baby boomer generation, so to speak, is, you know, it's structured, it's the corporate way, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
I was going to make a point here when you're talking about entrepreneurialism. Let me see if I can say it right.
Yeah, I did
entrepreneurism. Let's see. We won't go it again. But you know what I'm saying. Being an entrepreneur is that after the holiday season, they're saying that retail spending was up, but unemployment was still down. And I asked my husband, I said, gee, I wonder if they're pulling on any information as to what self-employed or entrepreneurs are pulling in.
They're not.
And we are a driving force within the economy. And I think people are seeing it. But as you said, there's that how. How do I do it? And, you know, sometimes for me, I jumped into an MLM situation. It didn't, I believed in the product, but I still didn't have the direction, and they said, just do what I do. Duplication is the best.
Yeah.
And there again, for me, it's like, no, I'm going to put a different spin on it, and but still,
that with this MLM structure.
Yeah. And it, you know what? It works well for others. You know, God bless them. But
it
for
does,
me,
yeah.
I had to find my own way, and that's for people who are you know contemplating on doing this. Understand that it is a process. For some people, they have perfect clarity. You know, they may have skills in you know, like you said, with mm-hmm. computer skills. They know how they can apply. Like right now, being a website designer, huge, a huge
oh,
business.
Yeah.
We're all
you would not believe how busy we are.
Yes.
But I just signed a 2-year agreement with a doctor in California to produce 104 websites. 104 websites over a 2-year period.
Mm-hmm. And it's those time. That's where my time goes, and taking me away from work that I want to do, you know, that being mm-hmm. writing and developing my company, mm-hmm. and then I get, you know, just squirreled up with, I mean, I'm happy to say that my website designer, when I send out an SOS, I said, I need to have this in there, and she'll do it for me. But because
right.
life is so changing, our websites need to keep up with that. They become outdated.
Well, that's exactly right. And you said something earlier, I don't want to lose track of it, but you were wondering if, you know, the government is keeping track of entrepreneurs, you know, how many of us are coming into the workforce, how many of us are paying taxes. And that also leads directly in my mind to the, you know, the unemployment rolls. You know, they're going up, they're going down. Some people are looking for jobs. Some people have dropped out of the market. I would say a fair amount, you know, maybe a small percentage, but still a fair amount of those people said, I don't want to be on the government dole. I don't want $250 a week. I will do it myself. Thank you very
mm-hmm.
much.
Mm-hmm.
And they're branching out and they're doing exactly what we did. And God bless every one of them.
Mm-hmm. And that's the beautiful
so
part
anything
of
that we
community.
Can do. Yeah, and that's why you have a Blog Talk Radio show. I have a Blog Talk Radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds, thousands of entrepreneurs have free content on their blogs. They have free telecourses. They have free teleseminars. They have, you know, free PDFs that you can download. If you want to go online and take your passion, your business, your creativity online, look around you. We're here to help you.
Mm-hmm.
We are all here to help you.
And that's a really nice thing to think about. You know how everyone's always saying that you need to give of yourself, and that is exactly what we're doing, and
mm-hmm.
maybe not even realizing that, you know, giving back and helping others, and you know, it truly, as the economy had to go into a state of correction, I think society has done so as well.
Right, exactly. Well, listen, I know that you are also a host of Blog Talk Radio. Let's
mm-hmm.
talk a little bit about that, because truthfully, it's a great way to make your voice heard. So give me some of your experiences, if you don't mind.
Oh, wow. I can't say how grateful I am that there is a Blog Talk Radio.
No.
I mean, otherwise, how do you get into mainstream? And like my professor said, that industry is just so saturated, it's hard to make a breakthrough and blah, blah, blah. So we're so blessed to have that opportunity. And as I drew upon my sphere of influence, if you will, people that I knew that were experts in their fields, and I started fine-tuning my own hosting skills, because as much as I love to talk, there's a skill in listening and prompting them. But it has been a phenomenal experience for me. I have come in contact with people who have not only just been on my show, but we have formed relationships and friendships. And it has enhanced my world. And also, as I say, that I have the freedom to voice my opinions, my insights, sharing my guests. It is truly a phenomenal experience. I will never let go of feel free in the OC. So I guess I'm stuck here living in the OC. I can't move. But where that title came from, and I had to come up with it quick because I made the decision within 2 days after being a guest on someone else's show, is that, you know, we live in Orange County, California. We've got that stigma of the Real Housewives of Orange County and OC, and the perception. When I talk to people in the Midwest or back, number one, they don't know the OC, so I'm glad you clarified that. But it's got that perception of living in excess, having this bubble. Everyone looks alike. We're, you know, Barbie dolls and things of that. Because I do get asked that when I'm, oh, are you one of those Real Housewives? And I said, no, yes, I am a real one. They're the unreal ones because we don't behave in violent ways.
I have to say, I saw about 5 minutes of that show one day. I was washing dishes or something, and my house is a very open concept. And I turned my head and went, oh, crap. And that's honest to God what I said.
Are you kidding me?
No, it was a little bit more pissy than that. I mean, you talk about facelifts and boob jobs, and beyond that, the behavior was so egregious that I just thought, oh, please, God, don't stigmatize the entire county with this.
And it does happen, especially when I travel. Yeah. That's the thing. And I said, nope, everything you see here is real. And I am authentic to myself. I'm an honest person who leads with, you know, integrity and all that. But it is for entertainment. We have to keep that in mind. The camera does, you know, shut off. But I do have to say, when I've had on occasion I'll have a driver take me to an airport and, you know, this happened in Atlanta because my daughter lives there, and he was sharing that he drove one of the housewives, and I will not mention her name, and he said, I don't think I've ever met a more mean and rude woman than this one was to me.
Aww,
I thought, wow,
that is so
he's carrying that on. And it is, and I thought, but yes, when I moved here 25 years ago, I had lived in a lovely area of California, the Central Coast, San Luis Obispo area. It's beautiful, just so delightful to live in. People were real. They were rooted there. When you come here, it's sort of transient because people are transferred for their jobs. They don't always stay very long. And so I felt I need to play by the rules. And I'll never forget going to some social functions and coming home, and I said, you know what? I really feel bad. That was the best word I could come from. Nothing felt good about the level of cattiness and gossiping and mean-spiritedness, and I, you know, had to distance myself. So when I came up with the title, it's to feel free with yourself and what you have to say, and that it matters. It truly does, and it doesn't matter where you live. I just happen to live here. But when you're on my show, I want my guests to feel free to talk about whatever it is that they're there with me to share.
Okay.
Without feeling
of OC, I went, oh goodness, oh my.
I just called it.
And unfortunately, it's going to happen.
I should put, I am not the Real Housewife in the OC show.
I'm the same thing. I live in the Deep South, and people just automatically assume, as Jeff Foxworthy so, you know, cogently says, that if you have an accent, they just deduct 100 IQ points.
Oh,
and I don't worry about it, but sometimes I wonder.
You're in Louisiana, right?
I am.
And I have to say, I love Louisiana. My husband worked on a project in Beaumont, Texas, of all places.
Mm-hmm.
And when we would visit, we would drive to New Orleans. And going down to Houma, that was quite an experience as we were lost. You talk about driving stress.
Oh, I know. And if you take a left, you wind up in the Gulf.
Well, I couldn't understand them. And I put a piece of paper down. And I said, just draw it. But I would see, because of my parents, and this is what I observed very young in life, and it hurt me deeply when when they were actually maybe behind their back, or they said to me, would make fun of, you know, how their accent was. See, nowadays it's cool to be in our country and be foreign. Back then it wasn't. And I had to work through that stigma. And that's why I call myself Nancy T. My maiden name was long. Finnish names are so long they can't even fit on a text. And Nokia is made in Finland, and they can't even get their words in there. So I am very sensitive to that, and I will never, ever judge a person's intelligence by where they're from. I mean, my dad is very, very smart, and he's just quiet, and his English is weak. But when I talk to him, his potential could have been so much more, I think, if he had stayed in Finland. But I'm glad he did, because then I'm here.
There you are.
So there
but
you
I
go.
Know what you mean about the accent, because I know some years ago one of my nephews came to visit from California, and I took him into the grocery store. We were going to there were a lot of foods he had just never heard of. So I said, "Well, we'll go shopping. I'll make you a gumbo or a crawfish etouffee or something." And I was talking to the butcher. Now, the butcher was speaking English, but because he was Cajun and because it was heavily accented, my nephew, you know, we walked off. He said, "Well, Aunt Denise, what language was that?" And I just looked at him. "Well, it was English." He said, "Oh, no, it wasn't." He wasn't buying that at all. He didn't understand a word, not a word.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can see where people would say, "Oh, my gosh," you know, but... You know, once you start to really listen, some of it's pretty fascinating. And the history behind it, of course, is fascinating.
I love the South. Yeah. I truly do. I mean, there's a tiny little place called Point Clear in Alabama on Mobile Bay. And when we walked out of the plane, we went into the area, and we would rent these little bikes and ride into a town called Fairhope. I've been here before.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there is a past life, but and the people are just so gracious, and going to Atlanta, I get to have that southern feeling from time to time, although there's a lot of transplants that have come from the Northeast, and so it's a blend. But still, there and with the history. But when I watched Gone with the Wind a couple weeks ago, I hadn't watched him so long, but you know what? It took so makes sense why things are the way they are.
Well, even the house, that the exterior of that house was shot over here in Louisiana.
Really?
It was housed over New Roads. Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful. Yeah. And now you're with Mardi Gras coming up, and I got an email. Now's your time to order your king cake and all these fun things. And see, that's the thing about California. It's a great place to live weather-wise. Yeah, that's why there's so many people here. But there isn't a strong sense
of tradition. Yeah.
Everyone's kind of bringing a little bit of, you know, what they're bringing to it. But that's why I used to go to New York quite a bit, and they have their thing, and like in Boston and definitely the South. I appreciate that culture. And
the one thing about the South, the food is good, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We know how to cook.
I'll have to test out my stomach now to see, but
can cook it. You know, my mantra is, if you can kill it or catch it or skin it, I can cook it. Now, if you want me to make coffee, you have to go to Starbucks.
You don't drink community coffee?
No.
I'll drink it
if somebody else makes it, but I've never really... I don't drink a whole lot of coffee. I don't even have a coffee. Well, I do have a coffee pot, but it's in the garage. And I don't really know how to make coffee. But I can cook anything.
Oh, I'm going to have to come to your house.
You need to come visit.
I will hold you to that, because I do love Louisiana. So
it's pretty fun. Well, listen, you say that, you know, you're living a life with, we got a little far afield, so I'm going to drag you back.
You did.
If you tell me that you're living a life with purpose, you know, and of giving back, are there any particular causes that are really near and dear to your heart before we sign off?
Very much so. There are a couple of organizations here in Orange County that I'm in contact with, because once I start pulling together an event, I wanted to be with the purpose of giving back some of the proceeds for the betterment of their charity. And abused women and children, just it breaks my heart. It truly breaks my heart. And there we go to the core of, they don't have a voice. They have been suffocated in all ways. And it just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. And here, even in quote-unquote the OC, where the perception is it's, you know, very affluent and everything is perfect, and this, no, it's like anywhere else. And I want to be involved not only within my own self, with them, helping, volunteering, but to give back monetarily. It's time to share the abundance of life, what rewards come my way deserves to go to them. So that's
I agree with you. I mean, it's always good. It's karma. I mean, that's a way overused word, no question about it. Mm-hmm. But look, if you do something really rotten to somebody, you can expect to have your car rear-ended at some point. It's going to happen.
And if it doesn't happen in this life, it's the next.
That's exactly right. You know, so, you know, I believe firmly in the golden rule, and it sounds like you do as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are to be honored and respected and cherished, and I have gone to Boys and Girls Clubs and made them shakes, because there's a shake mix that I drink, and the company is wonderful. It's called Vitalis Science, and they have a community outreach where if you donate $24, they match it, and we were able to get quite a few nutritional shake mixes to these children, and to see them be so grateful to have food in their stomach, and how we take that so for granted in our everyday freedom, and they don't have that there again, a hungry child will. I just wanted to take them all home. They were so precious, and to think that they.
I'm that way about pets. There's a sign over my house that says "Schmuck lives here." Mm. Any stray cat for 100 miles will find me.
Mm-hmm. And that's a huge problem. I don't know. It's probably the same in Louisiana, but with all the foreclosures going on, people leave their pets behind, and some people will say, tell the a law enforcement officer, I don't care. I'm going in there, and you go ahead, arrest me, but I've got to let this dog go free. You know, so
during hurricane, during the hurricanes, you know, the storms here, Katrina and Rita, a lot of people would not leave their homes because they weren't allowed to take their cats or their dogs on these helicopters or in these boats. And I have to say, look, I'm a person of high intelligence. I would not have left my pets either.
No.
Logic would not have,
you
know, emotion would have superseded logic at that point. They are my babies. I mean, I would not have. But I have a cat that is 14 years old. He is large. He is grumpy. He is the love of my life. And his name is Sawyer, you little bastard, Griffith. I would. Isn't that
you are funny.
It's all his vet records. I would no more leave him behind than I would leave myself behind.
Yeah.
But I get that.
We had to evacuate when we had a fire coming through Yorba Linda this couple years ago, and unexpected, but we had 70-mile-an-hour Santa Ana winds, and it was just like hopscotching.
Santa Ana winds, when they come up,
you know, from the desert, there's a lot of power with it. But our fire crew was out in L.A. dealing with another big one, so we just didn't have resources, low water pressure, but long story short, we had a mini dachshund, and, you know, in fact, it was funny because my husband picked her up and threw her in the back of his car, and I was driving mine, and she was whining the whole way because she didn't know where I was. There's no way I was going to leave her behind. And so when I called my children to tell them about that we're safe, we actually ended up staying in a 5-star hotel on Huntington Beach, because we had to drive away from the smoke. There were 3 fires going, and this hotel was they were so gracious in taking not only us but quite a few people. And she was so little, you know, maybe dachshunds are tiny. And so I've got a picture of her on this, you know, beautiful plush chair. Rough evacuation.
Right.
I go, well, you know, she's
and, you know, they bring such joy, but yes. You can't leave them behind. You can't leave children or women, or you can't leave anybody behind if you can avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that means if they need help as an entrepreneur, if they need help as, you know, with their health, what, you know, if you can help people, help people. Really, I think what we're talking about.
And I don't think I'm going to be limited to just what I had mentioned right now. To that is something that's number one. But you know, there's such a need. And then to help pass on the word to others who are looking for a cause where their help could be appreciated.
Exactly. Well, our ideas are always growing and evolving, so it's always a poor idea to make the mistakes. I'm going to do this, and then, you know, not think about anything down the road, because, of course, we're going to do things down the road. Nancy, where can people find you on the web?
Well, the easiest way, as we talked about websites, is my website, which is www.nancyferrari.com. And that pretty much spells my message, most of which that we discussed today. We didn't even get to touch base on as I evolve this business, is that incorporating methods that helped me get to where I am today, a support team through coaching, through the usage of a vision board. I am now a certified vision board coach, as I was coached by Joyce Schwartz, who wrote the vision board. It truly is amazing, and I invite others you can even just buy the book and do it yourself, but it's not just about putting pictures on a piece of paper and then looking at it. It's more purposeful than that. So giving people tools to help them attain that clarity in life and go forward. So that is the best way, because I have my Kangen Water site there, my various coaching sites, and also I want to say that I am an avid fan of professional baseball, and I'm now involved in blogging within the Baseball Network. I have a Women in Baseball group, and happy to say not only men are joining, and women are joining, but men are joining as well. They want to hear how we view the game. So this month I'm going to be featuring some amazing people within the world of baseball, one of which broke history by throwing batting practice in Phoenix, Arizona, to the Cleveland Indians and the A's. And it's like, it shows that, especially to young, impressionable girls, that anything is possible. If you want it bad enough, it's yours.
Absolutely.
Look forward to a really great month with shows, and I truly have enjoyed my time with you, and
I feel like
I've known you forever.
Great.
We
I
have
really
many commonalities.
We do, and if you ever make it to the South, I'll cook for you. You just come on down.
Okay, you've got it. There's nothing
I
like
can
that.
Cook.
As they say, home cooking. I hear that word. Said my husband is a Laker fan, and when he's not liking the call, he goes, "Oh, home cooking." I said, "No, why do they that?" I like
you
home
know,
cooking.
I have to tell you, a quick story, because you never know what's going to attract people. But I needed some, you know, just kind of general work done around my house. I needed somebody to, you know, help clean out the garage and store things in the attic, and you know, just do a lot of just little things that either my husband didn't have time to do, or I just really don't have time to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I put an ad on Craigslist, and the title of it was, "I Need 2 Starving College Students," because I wanted somebody who, you know, had a work ethic. And in it, I said, "Look, you know, this is what I need done. I need a few pieces of furniture moved, and I will pay you $10 an hour, but I will feed you." And I told my friend, I said, "I don't think I'm going to get any responses. Who's going to work for $10 an hour?" She said, I think they're going to come for the food because she knows my food. I said, yeah, right. I must have gotten 30 responses.
I'm sure.
And I hired two of the sweetest college students. And they come every weekend. They mow my grass. They move. I mean, they're like permanent fixtures now. But I see them, and they're just like, oh, this is so good.
That's the tip of the day. You just found a new
college student. Feed them.
Yeah, because you know what? There are people that
don't.
Mm-hmm.
I was really amazed. I mean, sure, they need the money. But more than that, they wanted some home cooking.
Oh.
Who would have known? You know, things that we take for granted, other people don't. And I think that's probably the message of our show today.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Absolutely.
Well, Nancy, thank you. I had a good time with you. Thank you so much for your time here with me today. You've given some really great information to our listeners, and I know they appreciate it as much as I do. And if you ever need a guest on your show, holler.
Oh, I most certainly will. And I won't say y'all.
Y'all.
I don't know. I'm not watching the clock because I had to move from the room. But I'll never forget when we went to Louisiana. My son was young. He's maybe, I don't know, 7. And we were with a family. And so the little guy said, do y'all have Game Boy? And he said, we only have one. Because he didn't understand that. He thought he was saying, do you all have a Game Boy?
Oh.
And my son took it quite literally. It was funny, it is.
There are differences regionally, there really are, but we have a lot of fun.
I would definitely love to have you on my show. We have so much more to share, and I thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to be with you and to share more about where I've come from and where I'm going, and it's all great, and especially when you live life with your clarity, and it makes the world of difference.
It does. You know, once you decide what it is, who you are, and what you're doing, and more importantly, I think, what you have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me, and that doesn't mean you have to go out and give away the tires on your car. That means you have to share your wisdom, your intellect, your thoughts, your advice, if it's asked for. You need to be open to share. And I think that's what American entrepreneurism online, at any rate, looks like these days. So, thank you for sharing your inspiration with us. Well, listen, thank you, everybody, for being here. And the show will be available for download generally in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and Nancy Ferrari wishing you a wonderful weekend. And if you're in Louisiana, happy Mardi Gras. And I will see y'all next. Y'all.
We're going to be the comedy show.
I must go now.
Happy Mardi Gras to you too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Denise.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.